Amen. Wasn't that good?
All right. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, we want to remind you that we're going to leave the doors open to the buildings this evening. There'll be a video being shown back there in the corner. There has been this morning, will be this afternoon. There's going to be some things telling you a little bit about, you know, what's been going on here at the church. I think the movie they've got in back there now is the last year's big youth rally. And if you weren't here, you ought to get a glimpse of that. And our next one's coming up April the 8th. We're having a youth rally April the 8th. So don't forget that. Mark it down. Make absolutely positive that you're here that night. You don't want to miss it. And then we usually have our communion service, the Lord's Supper, on the tonight. We're not going to have it tonight. We're having it next Sunday night. Being as I have been scheduled to have been gone four nights for quite some time. And so I'll be gone tonight through Wednesday night down in Rock Hill, South Carolina, preaching revival. And you pray for us. The Lord really blessed this week in revival, meeting Monday and Tuesday night. And then last night down in Maiden, and the youth choir took off to Kings Mountain. And they said, from what I heard, they had a better service on the bus coming home than they about did in the church. And so we thank God for what He done. And that'll be this week. We want you to be praying for us these four nights in Rock Hill. And, okay, choir practice this evening. Thank you, Brother John. At 5:30, the adult choir practice will be this evening. Make sure you're here. We're getting some things ready for Easter, which is only 3 weeks away. Our spring program will start first Sunday in April. We've got a lot of work to do between now and Easter, and so please, it's important that everybody in the choir come early this evening at 5:30. All right, Philippians chapter 4. After hearing what Brother Bruce said over there a while ago, I thought, my soul, if I ought to join this church. That's the kind where I want to put my prayers and my presence and my money and my tithes and offering. I'd hate to be dumping my money into a place where it was being stuck up in a bank somewhere or spent for a bunch of stuff that really ain't going to matter in eternity. I'd hate to do that, and I never make a plea for church membership. I've never even opened the doors of the church. But if I were you, that's the kind of church I'd want to be a part of. Now, I'm not ashamed to say that. I believe it with all my heart. And I'm going to tell you some things this morning. The Lord's brought us through and mention a couple of things, and won't take but just a few minutes, in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul makes a statement here, and this statement spoke to my heart, and I want to use it to try to speak to your heart. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Four words up there in verse 11 that I want to preach to you about this morning. Not that I speak in respect of want. Those three words after four. I have learned. It's not a sin to be ignorant. It is a sin to stay ignorant. He said, I have learned. You listen real carefully this morning. I'm only going to take just a few minutes, real brief. And if you'll sit still and listen, please don't no one else get up unless you absolutely have to. It's real annoying to the people that sit around you, so sit real still unless you have to move. I want to preach to you on some things that I've learned. Now, you'd think in 12 years, man learned something, wouldn't you? I've known some people that I don't know if they've learned anything in 12 years. I know some people are still committing the same sins, still committing the same crime, still getting in the same trouble, still living in the same old lifestyle that they were 12 years ago. I think you ought to be thankful if you've learned something. And the Apostle Paul said, I have learned. I hope and pray this morning that every one of you have learned some things. I guess I've learned a million things in the last 12 years. Things that I never even dreamed existed. I've been through things and had experiences that are too numerous to tell. I can tell you about some places I've been and some traveling places where I've been, things and things that people said and places that I've been where I've met different kinds of people and some of the wildest, strangest things happened you ever heard tell of in your life. And I thank God, my last 12 years as a pastor has been an education, to say the least. And God has let me learn some things. And so, just as a tip, listen carefully, I want to pass along some of those things to you, the younger generation. Now, all you young people, listen to me this morning for a few minutes. I want to pass along to you some things that I've learned. If you'll learn these things the easy way, you won't have to learn them the hard way. When God teaches you things, you hardly ever forget it. Maybe there's some of these things that you need to know, and there are some of them that maybe you knew a long time ago. But I want to say a couple of things this morning, several things, and the first one is this. I've learned this over the past 12 years, and here it is. Are you listening? Never envy the wicked. Never envy the wicked. Don't ever look at people in Hollywood or people, you know, and Guns N' Roses and them all saying and raking in the money and the girls and the dope and all. Don't never say, boy, I wish I was them. Never envy the wicked. Don't ever sit and watch that Hollywood crowd and say, them lucky dogs, they've got it made. I've learned in the past 12 years, never envy the wicked. Never envy the wicked. The Bible said that in Psalm 37, 1 and 2. When I was a little boy growing up, I used to want to be the Beatles so bad I couldn't stand it. And they'd come on and they'd sing, you know, and play them guitars. And I'd think, man, I'd love to be them. I'd love to be playing the Beatles. And then I wanted to be a basketball player. And then I wanted to be this. And I wanted to be that. I've got saved now and I've been preaching nearly 16 years. And I've learned never envy the wicked. You know what the Bible said about the wicked? You know what the Bible said about that rock and roll crowd? You know what the Bible said about the Hank Williams Jr. drinking, cocktail, pot smoking, beer loving, adulterating crowd? You know what the Bible said about them? The Bible said they shall soon be cut down like the grass. And the grass grows real pretty, but a man takes a mower out there and cuts it down. That's what God will do soon to the wicked. I've lived to see Elvis Presley put in his grave. I've lived to see John Lennon now in his grave. I don't want to be in them now. I used to think I did. I don't envy the wicked now. I've learned they don't last long. We've seen John Belushi pass off of the scene. We saw Marilyn Monroe go. We saw John Bonham go. We saw Bon Scott go. We saw him pass off of the scene by the thousands. Never envy the wicked. They ain't going to be around long. Let your light shine instead of putting out the light of others. Let your light shine before men. Secondly, let me say this tonight, this morning. I've learned this as a great lesson. You hear me? This is a great lesson. And if you don't learn this lesson, you'll make a fool out of yourself. And if you don't learn this lesson, you'll be embarrassed one day. Here it is. Number two. Never judge a person until you have walked in their shoes. You hear me? Buddy, we've learned that the hard way, ain't we? Our church has learned never to judge somebody else or look at somebody else in disdain or say, if that was me, I'd do this. And if that was me, I'd do that. I'd never do this or I'd never do that. Never do that, brother. The Indians used to say, never judge a fellow brother until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. And I know a lot of people, their problem is, they're always looking around saying, well, I don't think so-and-so ought to have done this. And I don't think so-and-so ought to have done that. And I'll tell you one thing, I don't believe a preacher ought to do this. And I'll tell you another thing, I don't believe a choir director ought to do this or a Sunday school teacher ought to do that. I'm warning you, brother, you better learn a lesson. You better not judge somebody until you've walked in their shoes. It may be a whole new ball game when God puts you down that same road. I tell you, better keep your mouth shut. I've learned the hard way. I've had to eat words, haven't you? I've had to go to people and apologize to them because I said something or thought something and God put me in that same test, and I've done the same thing that I had been critical of that person to do it. I'll never forget, before I started pastoring, I'd sit down there where y'all are sitting, and I'd hear the preacher say something, or I'd see something going on in the church that I didn't think was right, and I'd sit there and I'd say, why don't he do something about that? Why don't the preacher ever talk about this?
Why don't the preacher ever talk about that? I wonder why. I mentioned that to him 6 months ago, and he's never mentioned it. He just don't care about me. Our preacher's not even interested in how I feel. Boy, I used to give our preacher down the road when I was sitting on the pew. Boy, the Lord put me up here, and boy, you got 40,100 things to try to remember, and 500 people to try to satisfy, and hey, folks, it ain't as easy as it looks. Believe you me, I have no idea what I was getting into when I started pastoring a church. I ain't complaining, but I tell you, you want to blow your mind? Try to do everything that's expected of a preacher, and it'll drive you up the wall. I ain't kidding you. And the same is true for anything else. Never judge a person until you've walked in their shoes. You know what I've done after I've been pastoring about 6 months? I went back to my former pastor and sat down and apologized to him. I said, I shouldn't have had that attitude. I'd go off and preach, you know, and take a bunch of singers with me. And I'd go off somewhere to revival and take a gang with me. And I thought, Lord, this is fun. But I got the pastor and I found out them people's place in their church and the church needs them. And I changed my mind on a lot of things. I thought, boy, that preacher shouldn't let them young people do this and do that and do that. I found myself letting them do the very same thing, because you can't just get up and say everything about everybody, because while you're rooting out the weeds, you're going to kill some wheat. And the Lord teaches us to let the wheat and the tares grow together, and one of these days, He'll do the separating. I've learned never to judge a person. Young people, you always remember, you can't sling mud without losing ground. You always hurt yourself when you point your finger at somebody else. You got three pointing back at you. See them three right there? When you point your finger at somebody else, there's three of them are pointing back at you. And every time you start being critical and judging somebody else, I'll guarantee you they could turn that thing right around and find just as many things wrong with you as you can them. Amen? Everybody say amen right there. There ain't no one of us, there ain't none of us got the right to say, well, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. You don't have the right to say that. Never judge somebody till you've been where they've been. It's easy for you to sit there and say, well, I think a person ought to do this, and I think a person ought to do that. Boy, if the Lord puts you in that same position sometime, you might change your tune. Heard about, you ever met this crowd that can't, they find something wrong with everything? Everything. You can't satisfy. I heard about this guy. He was the ultimate pessimist. Everything that come along, he found something wrong with it. One day this preacher, he had a dog, and he's a miracle dog, and he could walk on water. And he was out in the boat with that fella, and that preacher called him, and he said, you find fault with everything, man. Let me show you something. See if you find fault with it. Come here, boy. And that dog just got off, jumped off the bank, hopped on that water, and ran right across that water and jumped in that boat. He said, what do you think about that? That guy said, dog can't even swim. I've met a lot of people like that. No matter what you show them, they'll find something wrong with it. One time this fellow went into a taxidermy, and he was looking around, you know, one of these critics, and he's looked around, and he saw this owl sitting there, and he's sitting there, he said, No, that owl will never do. His head's not right. His beak is not in the right position. His head's cocked wrong. His eye, that'll never work. That'll never pass off. It don't look real. About that time, the owl moved. It was a real one. But you always got this crap. One time a lady drove into a service station. She said, something's the matter with this car. It's making all kinds of noise. You know how a woman does when she gets in the car. There's always something wrong with it. You work your fool head off, paying payments, running debt, and every time she drives, this thing's falling apart, you're going to have to get... Boy, don't tell me. She pulled in there and she says, something's wrong with my car. It's making a noise. Man looked down the car. There wasn't nothing wrong with it. He said, just a minute, ma'am. He went and got a screwdriver and hammer, you know, and he went peck, 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 knocked around on the carburetor a little bit, peck, 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 you know, turn, act like he's turning a screw or two. Sat there about 15 minutes. He said, all right, start it up. She started up. She lived. Yeah, that's it. That's it. He didn't do nothing to it. That's the way a lot of people are. Boy, they just find fault with everything. I'm telling you, I've learned never to judge a person. If there's one thing I've learned in 12 years, it's to keep my mouth shut. And brother, I have to preach. This is what God's called me to do. But you catch me out here. You catch me. Anybody in here stand up and testify that I'm out here in the community running my mouth about other people and that. You don't catch me doing that, boy. God's made me eat too many of my words. I found out that I was wrong too many times. I'm going to keep my mouth shut about my brothers and my sisters. Not only that, let me show you this. Number three, here's another great lesson. Now get these and get them good. Number three, you can't please everybody. You can't please everybody, so please God. Oh, how I wish I could drill this into everybody's mind. You know what preacher's problem is a lot of time? You know what our church's problem is a lot of time? We worry about trying to do this and trying to do that. Well, so-and-so believes this and so-and-so believes that. What do they think about me? Hey, it don't matter. It don't matter what somebody else thinks. All that matters is if you can lay down at night and close your eyes and have peace in your heart with God Almighty, that's what matters, folks. You cannot please everybody. I remember I'd hear one preacher say this, and I'd say, oh, my soul, I got to do that. I'd hear another preacher say that, and I'd say, my soul, I got to do that. I'd hear another preacher contradict them preachers, and I'd say, hey, man, I can't please them all. And there come a time in my life where I made up my mind that I was going to please God. And if folks don't like it, they'll just have to lump it. That's all I can say. I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm the pastor of this church. And I try my best to be a good preacher and to be what you need. But I'm telling you this morning, I don't answer to not one person in here. Do you hear me? My answer to God Almighty. And as long as I please Him, and as long as He's satisfied with what I do and what I say, that's all that matters. It's pleasing God. You know what I found out? I found out if I please God, God will take the church and let it be what He wants it to be. Hallelujah. I'm glad I found that out, ain't you? Don't be a man pleaser. Don't be a person worshiper. Please God. And everybody else, well, just, you know, them that likes it can go with us, and them that don't like it can stay at home. That's all they are to it. See them doors over there? They ain't locked. You get out just like you got in. If you don't like me, if you don't like our church, you say, God, what have you got for me here? Make up your mind. You can't please everybody. Make up your mind.
I remember I used to try to stay at home and study, and the devil would say, you ought to be at the hospital visiting. You need to be out knocking on doors. I'd say, man, I do. So I'd go out knocking on doors, and then while I was out there visiting, the devil said, you need to be studying. It seemed like no matter what I'd done, I'd feel guilty because I wasn't doing something else. And I feel guilty all the time because no matter what I'd done, I'd see with all the things that I ain't doing. And it finally hit me that the Lord Jesus died for my sins, and that I'm saved by grace. And so I've got to serve God to the best of my ability, do what I feel like He leads me to do by His Spirit, and lay down at night and go to sleep like a baby and rest in His arms. Thank God! That's one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned. Number four. You listening? Believe none of what you hear, half of what you see, and only what you believe is what you read in God's Word. What a great lesson. Don't believe nothing you hear. Don't believe half of what you see. And don't believe nothing for sure except what's in the Bible. Amen. Boy, rumors, 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 rumors. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've heard this about old so-and-so, and they sing in that choir, and I heard from so-and-so because their sisters, brothers, aunts, cousins, uncles, best friends, next door neighbors, uncles, friends, neighbor that used to live across the street, you know, that moved here from California, used to go up there at that church. So it's true. Yes, sir, I heard it, and I heard it from somebody that knows, and I've heard it from somebody that's been in that church, and they told me, blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, I tell you, I know some people in McDowell County, their tongue honestly would reach from one of them walls to the other. And their nose is longer than that. You know who I'm talking about? Buddy, I'm not, son. Y'all about that preacher? He preached some gossip. And he said, you women, oh, get that gossiping tongue and put it on the altar. One girl them come to the altar and she said, oh, preacher, pray for me and I can get my tongue on the altar. He said, we got about 40 feet of it here, ma'am. Just double it over and let it flop on both ends.
Don't believe nothing you hear.
I've heard things about... Listen, if I believed everything I heard about people... I've learned it. When I first got saved, when somebody told you something, you know, you figure people ain't going to lie to you. And you just naturally believe it. Have you ever noticed when you hear something bad about somebody, it sticks in your mind? And from then on, every time you see that person, you think of that hypocrite. They ain't what they're supposed to be. Now, you're going to have to deal with that. And I'll tell you what the best thing some of you people to do. You listen to me? Some of you ain't listening. You're talking. You know what the best thing some of you people to do? Is get busy in your idle time and put up a sign over your ears that says, no dumping. Everybody here knows where the dump is down yonder, don't you? How many knows where the city dump is down there on Highway 226? That's the prison camp. Yeah, everybody knows where to take the trash. And not everybody in the church know who the gossipers are. And they find out everything and they got to know everything. It's always that certain little crowd. Trash dump. Don't believe nothing you hear. You say, well, what if it's true? Well, 1 out of 100 won't be bad. You won't miss it bad by not believing none of it. Envy is the mother of gossip. And 99 times out of 100, when you hear somebody talking about somebody else, there's one reason. They're jealous of them. You know why people talk about our church around this town? They're jealous of us. You know what? I was getting a haircut, and the barber, he said, how's church doing? I said, fine. He said, there's a preacher in here the other day, and he told me some bad stuff that the other preacher said about him. And he said, what's the matter with somebody like that? And I said, they're jealous. The only thing I can figure out. Of course, the nut don't know what he's doing, being jealous. If he walked a week in my shoes, he wouldn't be jealous no more. He'd be saying, whoa, I want to be me again. Now, that's usually the way it is. If you're jealous of somebody, if you have their problems and you have their burdens and you have their bills to pay and you have you ain't got nothing to be jealous over. So just get that out of your heart. You know what a gossiper does? I've noticed this in marriage trouble. When a man and wife's having trouble and I talk to them, the woman will tell me one thing. And then I talk to the man and you'd think you was talking about a completely different situation. And I'll be if both of them ain't telling you the truth. But you have a way of leaving out the parts of the conversation that's going to make you look bad. And it comes out completely different and still tell the truth. Y'all notice that? Well, I'll tell you one thing. This happened the other day. And I tell you what. I just got tired of him and I left him. You talk to him, and he says, I don't know what in the world got into that woman. I couldn't please her no matter what he did. And somehow or another, he forgets to tell you he knocked 3 teeth down her throat. You notice how that we can leave out the parts of the conversation that we don't want you to hear and present you a false picture. Well, let me say right quickly, number 5, never live by your feelings. Never live by your feelings. I know people right now who used to come to church, and they're out of church right now, and the reason they're out of church right now is because one day they got up and they just didn't feel saved. And they didn't feel like reading the Bible. And they didn't feel like praying. And well, it's kind of boring down at the church. Nothing much happening. Not many people being saved. Kind of in a dry spell. You start going by your feelings, you'll never make it. Thank God, I thank God, blessed be the Lord this morning, that the Lord has taught me always live by faith. Always live by faith. There's a better day coming. If the blessings ain't coming today, come back next Sunday. They'll be here then. If you don't feel saved today, get up and pray and read your Bible. You'll feel saved tomorrow. Don't go by your feelings. Don't ever let your feelings determine what you do. The flame has flickered many times, and I can truthfully say down through the years, and some of you know the battles and the problems and the burdens we've had, and some of you know the attacks from the news media that we've had, and the attacks from within and without, and false brethren, and everything else in the world. I can truthfully say this morning, church, that many times the devil has blowed, and the flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. The fire has never gone out. That same
same fire. That same fire. We got nice carpet now. We've got pretty lights now. But that don't mean anything. What really means something is the fire burning. Is the fire burning. And boy, I tell you, last Sunday night, I felt the fire burning, didn't you? When those girls were giving them testimonies a while ago, I felt the fire burning. When Brother John was leading us in "It Will Be Worth It All," I felt the fire burning. The flame is thicker, but the fire has never gone out. And that's why you don't live by your feelings. Let me give you these right quick and I'm going to close. Wait on the Lord when you're making decisions. I can't overemphasize this. You young people, listen to me for a minute. When you're thinking about getting married, and you're thinking about getting a job or going to college or, whatever, wait on the Lord. Don't jump into anything. And let me say this. Never, ever make a decision that's going to affect your life while you're backslid. Never. It'll be wrong every time. If you're out of the will of God and not going to church, don't make a decision. I've known people that got out of church, and while they was out of church, they went in debt for a house or went in debt for a new car. And that thing like to ruin them. They almost let it go back and ruined their credit and everything else because they went out and done some dumb thing while they was backslid. Next thing is, when you go against the Word of God, you pay. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how slick you think you can move. When you, my friend, go against what this book says, in one little tittle, you pay. The last thing is, except for Jesus, really, there's nothing worth living for. I've learned that. We build castles down here and, you know, we have our dreams and plans and we expect to be happy. It never works out. You're going to have trouble. You hear me? You're going to have one problem right after another in this world. If it ain't one thing, it's another. If you get everything taken up financially and get your bills caught up, then you're going to get cancer. If you don't get cancer, you'll have a heart attack. If you don't have a heart attack, one of your kids will about get killed in a car wreck. If one of your kids don't get killed in a car wreck, somebody in the family will get out on drugs and break your heart. They ain't really nothing worth living for but Jesus. I learned that. Thank God I learned that. Nothing matters when you really get to thinking about it but Jesus. Everything else is going to pass away. A lot of waters went under the bridge since that little service up there in the log cabin. And I can say hallelujah, glory to God. I can still stand in the same place, believe the same book, trust in the same Savior, and I ain't even looking for something better. He's good. He's good. Let's stand and pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know really what kind of invitation to give after a message like this. It'll be real brief, I can promise you that. I think Brother John will come and we'll just sing one verse of some old song. And maybe this morning, just maybe, there's somebody here that would say, "Preacher, I need to really get in this church and be a part of it. And I want to get my life right with God this morning." Maybe, I don't know. Whatever needs you have, you come. Father, do what ought to be done right now. I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who may be here, whose life is all mixed up. Maybe they're not even saved. Maybe they're mixed up in sin. Help them this morning to be the morning that they'll come to Jesus and be saved. Please do it, dear God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you need to come, you come right now. Come on, right now. Just get out of your seat. Come on this morning. Come on, that's right. Let God speak to your heart this morning. Amen. Somebody else?
Somebody else need to come. You need to come. Come on. Let's bow our heads while these are praying on the altar this morning. We're not going to lengthen the invitation. I wonder this morning how many people would be here. Say, preacher, I'm here this morning. My life's not right with God. I need the prayers of this church. I need people in this church to pray for me. Would you bow your heads, please? Every head bowed, people are praying. How many would say, preacher, I need your prayers this morning. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else want to be remembered in this prayer before we go? God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Bunch of people. Bless you, sir. I see you back there. Anyone else? Bless you. Bless you. I see your hands. Amen. I see your hands. We're going to pray for you this morning. Now, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you get your life right with God? Why don't you get it straightened out? Will you? Hey, you ain't got...